Let's open our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Hey, everybody, try to settle down now. Find your seat. Meant to mention and will mention again, hopefully at the end of the service, if I don't forget it, that the Allendale Choir has tapes out here near the water fountains. Go by and get them things. Don't let them take a one home with them. Pick out one and take it home with you. All you young people, you want something to listen to in your car, get one of them and take it and listen to in your car. And that way, get off that jungle thump. And get on something that'll feed your soul and not your flesh. It'll feed your heart and not your calf muscles. And do something for your soul. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 14. How many of you have ever heard of the Ten Commandments? Raise your hand. You've heard of the Ten Commandments. Anybody know who? We know God inspired them, don't with his finger, but who was the man God used through to write the Ten Commandments? Everybody know that? Moses. Somebody was bragging one time to a Jewish person in the hospital or something, and he's bragging, he's saying, buddy, one of my ancestors wrote the Gettysburg Address. And the Jew said, well, ain't nothing, one of mine wrote the Ten Commandments. And you've heard of them. Everybody's here has heard of the Ten Commandments. You think about that for a second. I want to preach to you this morning, just a few minutes. Listen carefully, and you got to listen to every one of these, on the Ten Commandments for young people. The Ten Commandments for young people. They're a little bit different than the ones Moses wrote, although his are the base for all these. The Ten Commandments for teenagers and young people. Look at verse number 14, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Stay with it, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Notice, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's all scripture, and that is present tense, and that is the Bible that you hold in your hand. It's referred to as scripture. He wasn't talking about the original manuscripts when he wrote that, but I guarantee it. They didn't have them. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Now, all you little ones, look up here at me a minute. Now, I'm going to tell you the Ten Commandments for your life, okay? Nod your head at me if you're listening, okay? Everybody nod your head. How about you big old people? Right? Nod your head if you're listening, okay? Now, wake up that man right back there, these others right over here that didn't nod their head, okay? Punch him! Say, what? Nod your head. Well, all right. Now listen. You listen to me this morning. I'm going to give you the Ten Commandments for young people. I'm just going to rattle them off to you and stop briefly and comment just a little bit so you listen. All teenagers, listen carefully. This is especially for you. Number one, commandment number one, don't let your parents down because they brought you up. Next time you start fussing about your mom asking you to do something, or your daddy saying, now listen, when I get back, I want that yard cleaned up, or I want that trash took out, or I want that grass mowed, or I want something done like that. The next time you say, oh, I was going to play ball today, or I was going to go see my friends, or I've got this, or I've got that, or I want to lay in the bed all day. You just remember this. Just remember there was lots of times when you were little that your mom and daddy gave up what they wanted to do to take care of your little bottom. Ain't that right? You think about it. People say, oh my goodness, I was going to go somewhere with the girls and I was going to go out riding around with my friends and mama said I had to stay here and clean my room. Well, you think about back about 15 years ago when you were about that long and your mama, the first thing she done, she went to the doctor one day. She was sick and throwing up. Next time you think you're something, you just remember, you made your mom puke when he first found out about you. And brother, she's sick and she's throwing up and she goes to the doctor and the doctor says, you're going to have a baby. And she goes, oh, and goes back and told your daddy, said, guess what? We're going to have a baby. He says, what do you mean me, woman? She says, well, you're going to help me now. And boy, I'll tell you what, you go through all of that process there. You go through all of those. Thank God I'm a man. Thank God. Boy, I've seen them suffer many, many times. We got some in here suffering this morning. I told them yesterday, somebody about had one in a youth rally. Here, a couple of youth rallies ago, I was making them do hallelujah, jump up, sit down, jump up, sit down, jump up, sit down. Bam! She sat down too hard back there, had to go to the hospital right from the youth rally. And did you know what? She walked around with you. She kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. First thing you know, she's having to walk like this to balance. So like this, she just fall right straight on that bubble and just roll like that. She had to walk around with you like that. Hey, she could have done like a lot of women. She could have went to a doctor and had that doctor kill you. She could have just had you sliced up and threw in the trash can like they do every day. That's called an abortion. When a woman has her baby sliced up or poisoned with salt and murders it. But your mama didn't do that. Your mama kept you and carried you around for 9 months. I mean, she's like that guy where you said, boy, I know he's on the level because the bubble's in the middle. And brother, I mean, by the time that baby was born, it wasn't just here. Her jaws is hanging out. And you know what? Some of them ain't never looked right since. You left your mark on them, brother. I mean, some of them they're like a balloon that's been blowed up and it's right down. It always looks funny after that. And did you know what? Your mama brought you into this world. When your mama brought you into this world, it was pain. I've heard them in the delivery room. I've heard women in there screaming. I've been to the hospital many, many times when a baby was being born. I remember when some of these kids up here were born. I remember mama's in there saying, I don't want it. I don't want it. And the doctor saying, it's too late now, sister. I mean, you gotta go through with this. And she brought you into this world. The first few nights, then when they brought you home, they thought you was a sweet little darling. They put you in the bed. Yes, and you was a liar from the very start. The Bible said the wicked go astray as soon as they're born, speaking lies. Ain't what that the Bible say? You say, my little angel, my foot. They learn how to lie before they're 2 months old. You say, no, they don't. Yeah, they do too. You remember how you had that little nursery all fixed up? You worked hard before you got too big. You worked on that nursery and boy, you put wallpaper and you put little toys and ice creams, popsicle sticks and stuff all around there and you went out to a yard sale. You said, I want my baby stuff to look good, and maybe you got a little baby bed and you painted it with white paint, you know, and got it all fixed up and you had a baby shower and they brought you things and oh, you just had everything ready for its darling little room. Had all them little things hang down over it where it can look up, you know, and it ding, 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 ding. You're a nut if you think that baby's going to sleep in there. You're just kidding. Oh, won't it be sweet? We'll lay him down and kiss him goodnight. And then mama will go off and get a good night's rest. Boy, you think they don't learn how to lie? You put that little sweet darling in there. And boy, you lay it down. After a while, it learns. It learns. You look at him, put it passy in his mouth. Here's your passy. Here's your passy. They didn't go to the movies that night. They fooled with you and put you down there and spent their money. Mama could have went out and bought her something to wear, but she spent her money fixing up that little room for you and to bring you into this world. And boy, you went to sleep there and you just looked up at her and grinned, and then you went and closed your eyes like you was going to sleep. And then mama, she goes out like this, turns the lamp out. Oh honey, let's don't, oh shut up, come on, he'll be alright. Don't let him get in the habit of it. Go in here, lay down. Ah, for the first time in almost a year, you're going to get to actually turn over on your side or belly and go to sleep. Oh, it's going to feel so good just to lay on my stomach. And just go, ha, and sleep. Boy, you get down there and get your eyes closed just about the time you're gone. Ah! Oh, you jump up. You think you're having a nightmare. Oh, he's choked on his passy. You run through the hall. Honey, you forgot your husband wanted to be real nice. He moved the furniture around while you were in the hospital. You trip over the floor, on the floor, on the couch, and bump your shin on the coffee table going through the living room. Run into the bedroom and say, oh, my Lord, he's choking to death. He'll be laying there dead. Oh, no. And flip the light on. And he goes, there ain't nothing wrong with him, a little liar. He can get you back in there. Ain't that right? The Bible said the wicked will astray as soon as they be born. That's one of the hardest lessons for you parents to learn. Your kids lie to you all the time. I've seen them in here go like this. And say, well, I better take him out. And as soon as you stand up, they quit crying. They've got you fooled. You need to beat the hyper out of them. That's right. They ain't nothing. You can tell by the way a baby's crying if it ain't yours that when it's really something wrong with her, when it's just wanting to get its way. They know how to fool you. You don't let your parents down. Some of you here this morning, you would rather please your friends than your mom and daddy. You ought to be ashamed. Listen, it wasn't your friends that sat up with you every night. It wasn't your friends that bought them diapers and put food on your table. And every time you got up and rocked you at night. I remember when Carrie was just a little bitty one, she'd have a bellyache, wouldn't go to sleep. Better get out and drive her around in the car, put her in the back seat. She'd go to sleep before you got down the driveway. You ever have a kid that do that? Well, she's got the bellyache. And boy, we'd go drive down the road and then come back. Okay, she's asleep now. Put her in bed. Just like that. Oh, God bless you. That's the way you'd feel like doing. If you've never had the privilege of getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning, When the baby is little, I used to have me a little thing in my bedroom, one of them little walkie-talkie things where I could hear every move she made. And it, you know, because my bedroom's upstairs and hers way down there. I put her in that little cage, lay down there and say, all right, go sleep. I go upstairs, 2 o'clock in the morning, Daddy! 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 I'd say, oh, Lord. Putting a pillow over my head saying, God, let her go back to sleep. God, put her to sleep. God, don't let her wait. And I didn't want to get so woke up that I wouldn't be able to go back to sleep. And sometimes I just let her scream for a few minutes. And sometimes she would just fall down, cry herself back to sleep. And other times I couldn't stand it. I'd go in there, get the bottle, you know, put it in the microwave, stick it in her mouth, and say, God bless you, honey. But your mom and daddy put up with you. Put you on that school bus day after day. Your mom and daddy worked hard for you. Don't let your mom and daddy down. You know what I believe? Some of you preachers may disagree with this, but since I'm preaching, I'm going to say it, and you can say whatever you want to when you're preaching. Listen, you know what I believe? I believe that daddy, especially in the home, is in the place of God when that kid's little. I didn't say it was God. Don't get that wrong. I'm just saying that kid looks to daddy. As they look to their daddy as they're growing up, they're going to be trained to look to God when they get bigger. That's right. Daddy is God in the home. Now, don't take that wrong. Don't misquote me. I didn't say he was God as God is God, but he is in the place of God in the home. Too bad I have to clarify for people that like to twist my words. But you know what I'm talking about. If kid learns respect daddy, they'll learn to respect God. If they're taught by mama, you do what daddy says. We wait on daddy. You make sure daddy's tea glass gets filled up. You make sure. I was in a preacher's home not long ago. I was eating. They put out a big meal for me in another state while I was sitting there eating and I was getting full. And this preacher's wife made these little old croissant rolls, real soft like yeast bread. Son, I love that stuff. Man, I can put butter on that stuff. I can just make a meal out of soft, hot yeast rolls. And if this preacher would shut up, I'd go find me some right now. That makes me hungry just thinking about it. I tell you, man, I looked at them thing and I put some butter on that thing, had some meat there, and I was eating them hot rolls with butter on them. And I was eating another one. And I was eating another one. I said, man, them things good. Give me another one. And I know there's had two little girls over here, a little boy over here. They'd about clean their plate and they was just sitting there, not opening their mouth, not saying a word. Finally, they said, "Preacher, you want some more?" And I said, "No, I tell you what, I'm full. That's all I can handle." They said, "Okay, girls." Them girls went, "Ah!" and grabbed the rest of them rolls. They had been taught to sit there till a man of God got something to eat. And then you say, "Oh, I don't believe in that." Hey, that's why your kids don't respect God. They're taught. You know, in America, we've got it all turned around. The kids run the household, then mama's second. Poor old stupid dumb daddy's way down here somewhere. You'll regret not training your kids to respect daddy. Oh, you're just a male chauvinist. No, you're just a women's liver that don't know what you're talking about. And you're going to reap it one of these days. I believe what the Bible says. I believe man's the head of the household. Amen? You say, "I don't like it." Lump it. Amen? That's what God said in the Bible. That's why some of you women can't be happy. You boss your husbands around all the time, and you'll never be satisfied till you take your place. "I've got to get back on this Ten Commandments for teenagers." The altar's open if you need to get something straight. Commandment number 2, be smart and obey. You'll give orders yourself someday. One of these days you're going to be up here. I bet old Jason there will never forget what he had to do this morning. I mean, it looks easy from down there. It ain't that easy, is it, brother? A lot of young preachers say, "Boy, I just can't wait till God to put me in." Oh, my soul. You wouldn't believe it. You'll be in the place of mom and dad one day. You're going to have kids under you one day. My oldest daughter, Carrie, she's been student teaching for some of the schools around here. And they'll call her and ask her to fill in some of the elementary schools. She'll come home one day, she had a bunch of little 5-year-olds. She said, "They about drive me crazy." I said, "That's all right. I told you." See why? Now listen, you're going to be giving the orders one of these days. You're going to be in charge. Be smart and obey. You'll give orders yourself someday. Number 3, commandment number 3, young people, stop and think before you drink. Stop and think and you won't drink. The only thing that makes a person drink is they don't think. You may be a tough boy here this morning and say, "I can drink beer, wine, liquor, and I can handle it. It don't bother me because I can control it." You know what? The devil has tricked you. He's tricked you. There's been a lot stronger men than you went down the tube of alcoholism, and a lot better ladies than you went down that road. If you'll stop and think, you will not drink. Why would anybody want to drink beer anyway? Why would you want to do it? I'm having the time of my life, and I ain't drunk. I've never been drunk in my life. I don't even know what it feels like, but it couldn't feel no better than what I felt last night. No way. Hey, no way. And I woke up this morning, brother, and the police ain't hunting me, and I ain't blowed all my money last night. And brother, I know where I'm going when I die, and I got peace with God down on the inside. Thank God, brother. Leave alcohol alone. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. You say, "Well, I got to prove I'm a man." Really prove you're a man and turn it down. Really prove you're a man and turn it down. Amen. You say, "Oh, Brother Danny just says this, but I know I'm going to go out and drink." The Bible says you're deceived, brother. You know what your problem is? You don't have a good IQ. Amen. You need to be in a handicap class somewhere. Amen. "So I don't like you talking to me like that." Then wise up! Amen. Bible said, "Fools make a mock at sin." Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. It'll make you lust after women you're not married to. It'll make you drive a car in a ditch. It'll take your pocketbook. It'll rot your liver. And every time you put alcohol in your body, it kills brain cells. Brain cells don't reproduce. That means once they're dead, they're dead. And you don't need to lose no more than what you've got now. Commandment number 4. Young people, show off driving is juvenile. Don't act your age. What a lot of kids don't realize is that an automobile ain't no toy. It ain't a toy. "Well, I'm going to meet Dale Earnhardt." You're going to be laying 6 foot under. That's what you're going to do. You can't get out here on these highways and act a fool with a car. He said, "Well, Brother Danny, you drive fast." But I watch where I'm going. All 5 directions. And I'm sober. Amen? A lot of young people think you can't take a curve in a car and go on the wrong side of the road. Let me tell you something, boys. All you boys listen to me. Somebody done a test here not too long ago. They took a mid-sized car to a smaller sized car. If you run a car down a stretch of highway at 100 miles an hour, 100 miles an hour down the highway, if you could, when that, you know how much it weighs at 100 miles an hour? 27 pounds. That's how much weight's on the ground. And if you could, you could take your foot and kick it off the road when it goes by you. You ever been in a car at 100 miles an hour? It feels like you're just hitting the high spots like that. And they, you cannot get in a car and drive down the road saying, "What's this fucking hammer?" 27 pounds, brother. At 100, you smash into a brick wall at 100 miles an hour, there won't be nothing left of you. It happens every day. Don't get in a car and act a fool. Just had young, we have it here every 2 or 3 years. Teenagers out in the car showing off or not realizing what they're doing. Partying. I was coming one morning up, coming to church. Just before we ever started our church, I was going to church. I pull out the road. Had a guy stop me in the road. He said, "You hear about so-and-so?" I said, "No, what?" This boy just got out of church. He's about 16. Backslid and got out of church. He said, "Him, so-and-so, 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 is all killed last night out on the road out here on the other side of town. Couldn't take the curve. Went into the ditch out yonder." Stop and think. Don't drive as a show-off. Commandment number 5, quickly. Ditch dirty thoughts or they will ditch you. You've got to learn to keep junk out of your mind. Amen. Now I'm going to say something here right now, and you've got to listen to me. Parents, you have got to listen to what I'm getting ready to say. Movies will pervert your kids' mind. I did not say all. I'll say just about all. You listen, parents, don't be dumb enough to let your kids watch R-rated movies. You say, "Well, it's just R-rated." What's R-rated now would have been against the law 50 years ago. PG-13, my foot, man. My dog don't need to be seeing what's on most PG-13 movies. That's a weak amen. Some of you parents must be doing it too, and that's why you can't say nothing to your kids. Amen! Honey, we need some mamas and daddies that'll straighten their act up, get their life right with God. You know what, boy? I throw a cold damper on this service right here. But you mamas and daddies need to get right to it. You say, "Well, I just need a little entertainment too." There's plenty of good, clean things you can do. Hey, watch the Three Stooges. Watch Walt Disney. Do something clean. Keep your kids' head out. Listen, your boys, you set a teenage boy in front of a girl and let girls dancing around in front of them, taking their clothes off, it'll mess up your boy's mind until he will not be able to even look at a girl without thinking dirty thoughts. I know what I'm talking about. I've had them tell me over and over and over. They say, "Brother Danny, it drives me crazy. Stuff that I seen before I say. I heard two boys talking dirty to a girl back there at the water fountain last night in this service where there's hundreds of young people. They can't even think right. They're probably sitting there thinking dirty thoughts about them while they're in the youth choir." You know why? Because you can't keep your face out of them dirty movies. You need to make a change. Make a change. You say, "Well, you'll run everybody off if you preach like that." Ain't a pretty good crowd here this morning. I know where the problem is. It's mama and daddy. That's where the problem is. You say, "Well, it don't bother me." Well, there, you're just like the fellow that drinks. You're deceiving yourself. Number 6, teenagers, listen carefully. I'm going to just read the rest of these off. Pick the right friends to be picked for a friend. Whoever you hang out with, that's who you're going to be like. I can tell you what you are or what you will become by the friends you hang out with. You're going to be just like them. Get around some of these young preachers. Get around some of these young ladies that love God. Hang around them. Go with them on Friday night. Don't go out with a bunch of bums that'll drag you down. Hang around somebody that'll lift you up. Number 7, choose a date fit for a mate. Don't even spend time with somebody or court somebody that you wouldn't consider marrying. I told this girl one time, she said, "I'm going out with so-and-so." I said, "Would you want to marry them?" She said, "Shoot, Lord, no, Brother Danny. Ain't no way I'd marry him. He's just fun." That's a stupid way to look at life. You know how people, you know what makes people get married? They fall in love. You know how you fall in love? Spending time together. You don't want to fall in love with that jerk? You better stay away from him. Man, I've seen some of them come in here. Like it looks like they're about as big around as this microphone stand. Their hair looks about like that, too. Get their AC/DC shirt on, you know. I mean, they have to tease a hair on their leg to make their stock stand up. And they sit just as far in the back as they can possibly get. Oh, look at him, Brother Danny. Oh, my soul. Saying, gag, lady. Is that the best you can do? You're like that old black lady who's getting ready to marry this guy, and she brought him down front, and the preacher says, I've married him for better or for worse. She said, Lord, no, preacher. Said, there's no hopes of him getting any better, and he can't get no worse. I just take him as he is. You're better off without one than that kind. You start courting, you better pick a date fit for a mate. Some of the young people went down where I was preaching Saturday night before last. And they all went, and Todd and Carrie and some of them stopped at the mall on the way to Hickory before I was going down to Sam's church where I was preaching. It's a good place to go for a date is go to church, see? Amen. Sit together at church. Yes. You got a boyfriend that won't come to church, tell him to go jump. He's a big wimp. Amen. He's a wimp. And you know what? They was coming out of the mall down there, and one of them boys flirted with my daughter. And I'm glad he's there, because if I'd have been there, I'd have done the same. He's going to go over and bust her mouth. In good Christian love. Watch it, buddy. Bow! Amen! Ain't that right, Brother Ryman? And so they wound up witnessing to him. This is wild, man. 35 miles from here. That's the nearest mall. And they went down there, and they started witnessing these boys and inviting them to church. And you know what? I'll show you what. There's a difference between a good date and a bad date. You know what? Out of the clear blue yonder, them boys showed up at the youth rally last night, and one of them got saved. Ain't that something? Got saved here. Let me tell you something else happened last night. Ain't that wild, man? Them boys drove from Hickory, come up here and found the church, and one got saved. Amen. But anyway, last night I got home about 12 o'clock. I don't know who's involved in this, but somebody called my house about 12 o'clock, and this boy's been backslid for years. I just knew him when he was little. He said, is this Danny Castle? And I said, yeah. He said, I don't know what's going on. He said, me and a girlfriend, a bunch of them out there camping on the lake last night. He said, all of a sudden, a bunch of cars come out that dirt road, and all of a sudden, people, they parked, and people got out and started hollering and sound like they was screaming and preaching. He said, man, it scared me to death. I don't know who that was. Who stopped on the way out to the camp last night and preached a little while? Shame to admit it, huh?
It was right here.
I figured it was y'all.
It wasn't me. I was just trying.
Slow. But they stopped at something and started preaching. He said, I thought they was mocking God. He thought it was a bunch of Satanists out there.
There.
Was it him right there? Well, let me tell you something, brother. God used you to reach somebody. You know what? This boy called me. He called the cops or somebody. He said, I don't know what's going on out here. He was scared out of his wits. He's a backslid preacher, son. And he called me. He said, he called the cops or somebody. They said, oh, it's Danny Castle youth camp out there. And probably a bunch of them people from that church down there. And I said, yeah, that's, but he said, I thought, boy, it's getting good now when the wicked people are scared of the Christians partying over there, you know, where they're going to come over right out. Amen. That's good, man. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. Usually, you know, when you're out of you. Turn down there, a bunch of people. They might even be here this morning. I invited them. But anyway, that's a crowd to hang out with. Hang out with a crowd that'll help you. Quickly, let me read you these three and I'll be through. Number 8, don't go steady until you're ready. And then, supervised parents, you're foolish if you let your girls go out with a boy by themselves and spend time with them. You're foolish for doing that. Unless you know where they're at, what they're doing, who they're with. You say, well, I trust my kids. There you go again. That's the stupidest thing. You couldn't be trusted when you was their age. I couldn't be trusted when I was their age. And they can't be trusted. If you wait till they mess up, it's too late then. You just take it for granted they're guilty. I'm telling you, the devil will get it. He said, I've got a good kid. That ain't going to stop the devil from tempting them. Especially in the day we're living in. Number 9, love God and always go to church. Young people, don't let a date, don't let school, don't let a job, don't let your friends, don't let anybody or anything keep you from church. I've seen a lot of young people come through here in the last 17 years. And the ones that stay, the ones that stick it out, and the ones that make it are the ones that go to church on Wednesday nights, Sunday nights, come to the special event. There's the ones that stays in. And the rest of them, little by little by little, the world swallows them back up. Number 10, read your Bible every day. The soul you save may be your own. Heard about a young man down here in South Carolina. And I'll say this and I'm through. They got going down here, I think not too far from here, down to Spartanburg, 70 miles. And them boys got to going down there every day where them train tracks was, and what they'd do just for kicks is they got to where they'd do like this, get right at the train tracks while a train was coming by. And what they'd do is, as soon as the train went by, they'd jump so you could be the first one across the track when the train got by. And they kept cutting it closer and closer, big double tracks, some going this way and some going that way. And they were like this, and they were standing there. And as soon as that train go by every evening, they'd just jump over there to see who could get across first. They got doing that every day. Boy, about 17 years old, went down there one day. There was a train flying by, and he said, all right, boys, I'm going to show you this time. I'm going to make the best time of anybody. I'll be the first one to get across. He kept leaning over into that train, getting closer and closer and closer. And what he didn't know, there was another train going by on the other side, coming the other way. And this train was going this way, and he watched that caboose, and he stood there like that. And brother, just as soon as that caboose went by, he jumped as fast as he could and landed in that other track, and that other train hit him just like that. And he never even knew what hit him. Just like gone, man. Just it's like a bug on your windshield. 17 years old, something like that. Had no idea that day would be his last. He had no idea when he was going to die. That's why we preach to you. That's why, you know, people think, oh, he's mean. He preaches about our friends. He preaches about our dates. He preaches about our mood. You know why? Because you're going to die one of these days. We care enough about you to tell you the truth. The soul you save might be your own. Better live careful. And you better know you're ready to meet God. Let's stand and bow our heads for prayer.